Fellow Freedom fans, back David Allen Carmichael. Yes, it is me. We're going to talk about this thing. I'm going to go to a this thing, whatever the thing was. You just turned on your radio. You don't know what the thing is. Maybe you can figure it out if you listen. Let's go. It's going to be kind of weird, but true. I'm going to read something that President Bush said, the George Bush, Herbert Walker. I don't know. I don't know which one's Herbert, which the old guy. All right. The old guy, Pops. Yes, he said that we weren't, let's see what he was talking about years ago, and he had this speech, and he was kind of talking about his 21st century, year 2000, whatever, goals setting thing, national educating goals by the year 2000. He wants to make sure that 9 in every 10 students should graduate from high school, and so it was kind of a political agenda he gave in October 1st, 1991. And he said, but what does all this mean? You might say, what is he doing? What does all this mean for the students right here in this room? Well, he did mention he. I wanted to compare Mr. Bush's speech. I wanted to look at the relative I statements, the relative amount of I statements made by George Bush, the elder, 1991. Fast forward to Mr. Barack Obama's President of the United States' current speech. I will tell you that Mr. Bush's speech was not nearly, I would think, as motivational emotionally. But brain-wise, it was extremely, I think, would have been very effective. He talked about some things that Barack Obama just recently just kind of placated these guys. He kind of made some cultural things. There's things that Mr. Bush said in 1991 that were real. In the street, especially urban kids, trust me, I know I was there in my own life. He says, think about drugs. You see films, et cetera, et cetera. He talked about drugs and things like that. Mr. Bush did. He says, the things that you will choose will change your life. He said, your parents will not make the decision. Your teachers won't make the decision. Your friends won't make the decision. It's up to you. It takes guts to take control. That's what Mr. Bush said back in 1991. He said, and he went on to say that he says, if you have to take the long way home after school so you don't cross paths with a gang hanging on the corner, that was me. I walked where the criminal, probably child molester, you know, murderers on parole were hanging out on the train tracks because it was dangerous for me to walk through the neighborhoods. See, the hoods were afraid of the guys at the train tracks. So I would walk along the train tracks, and when people would get up and go in my direction, I'd start moving really fast. So, yeah, I had to worry about that stuff in East LA. I've gone back to that neighborhood. Now those, you know, the hoods back then can't afford the houses, and the neighborhood has improved significantly since then. But Mr. Bush brought up some things that basically, and he made statements. He said, if you cheat, who pays the price? If you cut corners, if you hunt for an easy A, who comes up short? Easy answer to that one, you do. And he gave a cause and effect. You reap what you sow. And so he did talk about, he wasn't saying the world revolves around you, worship yourself. He was basically saying, hey, buddy, you can't just go for the ride. So I think his speech was quite inspirational now that I think about it. So he said, don't do it just for your parents or the president tells you. Do it for yourself. Now, he did get into the little worship yourself thing, but he said, do it for your future. And while you're at it, help a little brother or sister to learn, or maybe even to mom and dad. Now, he inspired them to not just take responsibility for themselves, but to love their local neighbor. I mean, that's pretty local. So I'd say relatively, Mr. Bush's speech in 1991 wasn't really a political agenda. He was talking about education. This is our problem. We got a little education issue here. We've got this plan. It's a such and such plan. We have a goal to have 9 out of 10 people graduate high school by the year 2000. That's in 9 years from now. This is our goal. So there was a little bit of a push for his education plan. Now I'm going to go to Mr. Obama's speech. So he talked about different ways that they could discover who they need to be when they grow up. He says, and no matter what you want to do with your life, I guarantee that you'll need an education to do it. Well, that's a readily distinguishable maxim. You want to be a doctor, a teacher, a police officer. You want to be a nurse or architect, a lawyer, a member of a military. You're going to need a good education for every single one of those careers. It's true. you can't drop out of school and just drop into a good job. Well, yeah, I bet there's senators that have done that. You've got to work for it and train for it and learn for it. Readily distinguishable maximum. You do. You have to work for those things, train for them. And to me, I'm like, okay, if you know what your vocation is, work to that end. Find those things that will support it. And that's what we did with our kids. What's your vocation? What is the bent that you sense that God is calling you to? Well, we're going to equip you to that end. That's what we're going to do. That's our responsibility as parents, to equip you, as Sir William Blackstone said in the Commentaries of the Common Law, the rights and duties of parents and children, the rights of parents and children. He said it's an obligation the parents have to equip and ready their children for their station in life. Mr. Obama said, and this isn't just important for your life and your own future. What you make of your education will decide nothing less than the future of this country. Now it gets a little bit weird. See, it is a higher calling here. He's just invoked a higher calling. You say, well, that's good. That's good for inspiration. What are you inspiring people to? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. And this is just important for your own life and your own future. What you make of your education will decide nothing but less than the future of this country. So it's a little nationalistic. Well, you say, yeah, we want to be for this country. I know that's cute, but you know what? There's a way that you can be effective for your country without worshiping it. It's a little bit weird. Sounds true, but it's not true. This future of America depends on you. Well, yeah, sort of. But listen to what he said. He said, what you're learning in school today will determine whether we as a nation can meet our greatest challenges in the future. Look at the perspective. What these guys are giving you, the mantra of our current educational system, is the determiner of if our nation can meet our greatest challenges in the future. What are they teaching about alternative, non-productive, non-procreative lifestyles? What are they teaching about in utero infanticide, which is really putting a damper on our economy? What are they teaching about religion and philosophy? The kids that we know that are getting to college and are coming out of the current education system, they're troubled. They're amazingly troubled. You say, well, they're just normal. No, they're typical. They're abnormal. What you're learning in school today, that's why the New Hampshire girl was pulled out of homeschool last week by a judge. He said, you're not getting a broad enough view. Well, I'm sure I'm telling you what, the nation is grateful. I know one young lady who went on to college and is changing people's lives today for the better because some judge didn't order her out of homeschool. It's important. What you make of your education will decide nothing less than the future of this country. No, it decides what happens in your life. In other words, you reap what you sow. You reap what you sow. Now, I will tell you that when you fill a bucket, the biblical way of filling somebody's bucket so much so that it spills out on everybody else, I will tell you, if you live a life that is right, you're going to affect others. Okay? But it's really, you have to, it's, okay, I'll just leave that alone. He says, now watch this. The George Bush, the elder, said that his focus was to tell them about what they're doing and their hard work and their education. They're going to reap what they sow. And yes, he was kind of pushing his we're hoping that this plan we have is really going to go to this educational end. So his focus was the effectiveness of that, of basically making people be able to know math and to read and to write, R cubed. That was his focus. We want to be doing this. Yeah, there's a little, we've got a little bandwagon here. We've got a program we think will do it. But the goal is the three R's. Now, Mr. Obama here, I want you to listen to this. Now, this is subtle. And again, not to slam him. I'm talking about a worldview here to this, you know, the strange evolving utopia that's really not. It's devolving. You'll need the knowledge and problem-solving skills. See, we're learning our knowledge and problem-solving skills. Huh? You're not actually learning any truth. See, I tell you, just tell me the truth. Give me the truth, and I have some tools to solve some problems. He says, you're going to learn knowledge and problem-solving skills you learn in science and math to cure diseases. So now we have a goal, not just learning reading, writing, and arithmetic. We have this bigger goal. We have to do this because we got to cure diseases like cancer and AIDS. AIDS, Some of those things are both, in some senses, are consequences. Some of them aren't. It's just part of fallen man. And to develop new energy technologies. Again, that's a political agenda. You have to do this because here's our agenda. These are our utopian goals. These are the things that we're elevating as our achievements of life. Not vocations, not your vocation, but these are our agenda. Mr. Bush wasn't talking about this agenda. He did talk about the ramifications of abandoning, virtue. Okay, so this is a goal, like cancer and AIDS, develop new energy technologies. That's an agenda. To protect our environment. That's an agenda. You'll need the insights and critical thinking skills you gain in history and social studies. Is that where we get that? Critical thinking skills in history and social studies? Is that where we get insights and critical? You know what it is, folks? They're taking history and social studies to try to form their insights and critical thinking skills. That's not where my kids get theirs. My kids, I'm an extremist. I teach them to love God and love their neighbor as theirself, to go to the Bible. You want to figure out what this government's doing? Look at the Constitution of wherever you are. See what the structure is. See what's a biblical basis for it. If it's, if it's not sound, then you change it. You convince people of what is right. You need the insights and critical thinking skills you gain in history and social studies. I don't see where the reference is coming from to fight poverty and homelessness. So now we have an agenda. Inspire them to a political agenda. To fight crime and discrimination, we have an agenda. These are the higher purposes. But Jesus said your higher purpose, love God and love your neighbor as yourself. What you're going to get is these will be byproducts. Because you love your neighbor, you know what it's going to affect? Cancer treatment, AIDS treatment, energy technologies, protecting your environment. It's going to happen. Here it says, you'll need the insights and critical thinking skills you gain in history and social studies. Biblical perspective, fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. I'm telling you, this is a depraved viewpoint. Bless our hearts. And this, so these political agendas, crime and discrimination, and make our nation more fair and more free. You'll need the creativity and ingenuity you develop in our classes. So you're only going to develop this creativity and ingenuity in these classes to build new companies that will create new jobs and boost our economy. What I'm saying, folks, this is weird. I know I'm doing this really crazy saying. Nobody's going to tell you this. Nobody's going to come to you. Well, they might. I'm just saying I don't hear it anywhere. You're hearing it here on the Liberty Works Radio Network. We're a bunch of nuts. And we're doing it in your neighborhood. The Lord is blessing you, okay? You've got a little divine intervention going on right in front of you with this Liberty Works Radio Network on the Eagle 104.3 FM. People are putting themselves at risk for you. Love God. Love. You know what I'm doing right now? I have not been to broadcaster school. I went to instructor training in the Navy. I was a Navy instructor, curriculum development. Okay. I've taught adults, and normally when I teach an adult, I go through precept by precept, got a nice, great, orderly pattern. But for the sake of this crazy radio thing, we kind of get a little more flippant here. But I'm fulfilling my vocation because I was called to do it in spite of my resource or despite of my particular skills, and I'm working on them. But, I didn't go find this job empirically. I didn't study it and do the math and figure out what I might be able to do for the sake of survival. I'm fulfilling my vocation. Whether I'm skilled for it or not, I have to work a little harder sometimes to fulfill that. Keep tuning in. We're going to come back to this. And our number is 888-850-1872, the Eagle 104.3 FM, David Allen Carmichael. Again, check out my website, faithfreedoms.org.